Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you today that you are the righteous God, that you are just in all your ways, that you are righteous in all your works, that you are good, and there is no sin or wickedness or evil or perversion in you. And we acknowledge that even though there are many things about you that we do not understand or comprehend, yet we thank you that you are holy, that you are good, and that you are just. And we thank you that, Lord, you have had mercy upon us, not because we are good, but because you are gracious. We thank you for providing our salvation through the death of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life as an atonement for us. We thank you that our sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ, and that we have fellowship with you through him. We thank you that we have an eternal hope that we did not have before because we are in Christ. And because Christ not only provided forgiveness of our sins, but through him provided eternal blessing. We thank you that our sins were imputed to him upon the cross, and that his righteousness is imputed to us. And we thank you that the blessing of Abraham has come upon us because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in him. And we come before you this morning to worship you, to exalt you, to thank you, and to praise you. And Lord, I pray that you would enable us to set aside the thoughts of this week, set aside perhaps the trial that we may be going through, the difficulties, or maybe the blessings that we're experiencing. Lord, help us to set all those things aside here this morning, to set our thoughts upon you and upon your word. May we truly praise you and glorify you and thank you. And Lord, even though we may be going through some difficult things right this very time, yet, Lord, we thank you for the eternal hope that we have in Christ. And we thank you for your many promises. And we pray that you would help us truly now this morning to worship you rightly from our hearts, that we would draw near to you with our hearts, not merely with our words. And we pray that you would be glorified in us. We ask that you bless this church. We ask that you bless this church with true sanctification, true purity of heart, Lord, true thankfulness and contentment. We pray that you would bless us with unity, the unity of the Spirit. May we truly be faithful to love you and to love one another. And may we truly glorify you. Bless us this morning as we worship you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us and your kindness. And may we truly sing now as unto the Lord. May we truly glorify you and honor you. This day we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11, which you've been looking at the last few weeks. As you're turning there, I just want to make an announcement that was not in the bulletin, but just wanted to remind you that we do have men's Bible study this Saturday. An email goes out about that every Friday, but I just wanted to remind you that we do have that as we're going through the end of the book of Daniel. That's Saturday at 7:30 here at the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 through 11. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. you will be enriched in everything for all liberality which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Well, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we come before you and thank you for the written word of God. We thank you that it is the means by which you have saved us. We are born again through hearing and believing the word of God. It's the means by which you sanctify us. We are sanctified through your truth. Your word is truth. And we thank you that it is through the word of God you're transforming us and making us into the image of Christ as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the many truths that are here, the promises and the warnings that are here. We pray that you would, Lord, help us to receive it with meekness. We pray that we would not argue with the Word of God or critique the Word of God as if we knew better than you. We have a temptation to do that. We pray that you would help us to humbly seek you in your Word day by day. And we pray that you would help us to receive with joy the promises and receive the commandments and obey them. We just ask that you would give us a teachable spirit day by day before your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit, by your grace, would accomplish your purpose in us through this truth. We acknowledge that it is living and powerful, that it is the means by which you quicken your children. And we ask that you would do that, Lord, even today, and accomplish your purpose. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Sometimes life can be overwhelming. Sometimes life can be very discouraging, exhausting, burdensome. When you come to a verse like this, in verse 8, this is like streams of water to the believer. If I could only somehow convey the glory of this verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. What a glorious statement of God's provision for his children. Properly understood, this verse alone is just an immeasurable encouragement to the believer. This promise, rightly understood, is something that I think the unbeliever really could care less about. And that's the truth. It's a verse that's been abused by false teachers abundantly, but they abuse it. The glory of this promise is not that God promises you that you'll sit on a beach and sip lemonade and have no troubles. That's not the promise. If that's what you're looking for, you're going to be vastly disappointed. But the promise is that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that it always, in everything, you will have sufficiency. That's astounding. But I want to remind you, in this context, that he gives us according to what we've sown. That's an amazing truth too. For he says, he that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. We are to do what we do. We are to give unto the Lord with cheerfulness. Why? Because God is able to do this. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Say, how do you sow? By giving him the first, the best, everything with thanksgiving. So bountifully. There's a sense in which this is the very promise that Jesus spoke of when he said, take my yoke upon you. That's submission, complete submission. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And then he says this, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you seek Him in all you do, and you put Him first in all you do, in your giving, in your time, in your plans, and in your purposes, in everything, without exception, God will make all grace abound toward you. And so, we are to sow expectantly. Expecting that God will do everything He said He will do. Because as I say, God is overwhelmingly good. And He is. And we began to look particularly at verses 8 through 11 here last week. And we noticed that we are to expect to reap according to God's power. It says in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. We forget sometimes in practice, in this life, that God is sovereign and God uses His providence to work all things together for good for His children. And whatever situation you're in, whatever trouble you face, whatever trial, whatever problem, the people that you deal with, God is sovereign over all of it. And He is able to work everything out according to His purpose and for your good. He is almighty. He changes us, something we can't do. He changes other people. He changes circumstances. He is able to do this. He is able to make all things work out for our good. We observe, secondly, that we should expect to reap according to God's goodness. It says He's able to make all grace abound toward you. And God is a giving God. He is a gracious God. He has provided everything that we need through one means, and that is through Christ. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What an amazing promise. Everything through Christ. It's all been purchased through Christ. Everything that you need has been purchased by Christ. And God freely gives it. So expect to reap according to God's, not only His power, but according to His goodness. He is infinitely good. He will never give us something, as His children, He will never give us something that is bad for us. He will not withhold one good thing from us. And even when He punishes us or chastises us because of disobedience, He takes things away sometimes, or He brings things into our lives that are difficult. He does that for our good. So we should expect to reap according to His goodness. Now, this morning I want to consider the third point here. Expect to reap according to your need. Expect to reap according to your need. So, he says here, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything. Stop there. The key word here is sufficiency. If the key word in the first point was the word able, God is able, and the second one is grace, the word here is sufficiency. And it speaks of God's perfect wisdom and kindness. The exhaustiveness of this promise, when he says he is able to make all grace abound to you so that always, that's in regard to time, always having all sufficiency in everything, in every respect, always, in all things, He is able to make all grace abound toward us. Perfect supply of what we need in all circumstances. Now, I'd like to go back and rehearse the fact that although the context here is speaking of finances, which is certainly part of it, And that's the main point here when he says, you know, we are to sow abundantly, meaning we are to give a lot and give with a cheerful heart in order that we will have what we need whenever. That's certainly speaking of finances. But I want to argue that, again, in the overarching application to the Christian life, as we can show from other passages as well, and we've done, it is not just material things. In fact, even in this context, it's not just material things. It is everything that you and I need to live lives that are pleasing and glorifying to God. When you think of the fruit of the Spirit, when you think of the wisdom that is from above in James 3:17, that is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. When you think of all the things that God wants to accomplish in us from day to day and change us and make us into the image of Christ, everything that we need to live a life that honors Him, love and joy and peace, we will have everything that we need in every circumstance. And in a sense, this is what Christ promised when He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You must seek Him first. I want to give you the example of Paul in the Philippians. Look back at Philippians chapter 4, or over to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 18 and 19. Now again, just a little bit of a context. Paul is in prison, and he writes this letter to the Philippians partly as a thanks for them actually sending him a gift and helping to supply his need and support him financially. And a good part of chapter 4 is Paul acknowledging this gift and thanking them for it. And this is an example of them giving. And then he speaks here. He says in verse 18, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply," in verse 19, "and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And so this is really an example of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where they gave of themselves, they gave to the Lord's work, they gave to the support of Paul, and Paul says to them, "I have everything I need thanks to what God has supplied through you. You have given to me." And now he says, Christ, according to the riches of His glory, in other words, He's infinite in what He has, what He owns, what is available. There is no limit to God's supply. He says, according to His riches and glory, God will supply all your needs. And so the Philippians provided for Paul, and God would provide for the Philippians. But I want you to observe, going back a little bit in chapter 4 here of Philippians, the importance of, and this is the part that the world doesn't like this promise, right? The importance of contentment with what God provides. The promise is that you will have everything you need all the time. Not everything you want. Not everything your flesh desires. Everything you actually do need from God's perspective. You will never be in want. In Philippians 4, verse 10, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me." Again, he's speaking about the gift they sent. "Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthened me." Paul here is basically pointing to the fact that we must learn day by day by day to be content with what He supplies. Now again, this goes counter to everything you hear in the world. Everything you hear in the world is, you know, dream big and go after it and have big plans and make your plans to conquer the world and be great and do great things. Paul says, be content. If God gives you a little, be content with a little. If God gives you abundance, be content with abundance. Now here's what your role is. Do everything for the glory of God. Period. I encourage you, put away your 10-year plan. Live today. Listen, has God given you a great position? Do it right now, today, for the glory of God with all your heart, as unto the Lord, without complaining. Do every day what God has given you, and do it as unto Him. If He's given you a little bit, that's okay. Be content with that. If He gives you a lot, be content with that. But seek Him. He will provide. He says, I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. You know, the promise of God is not that you'll never, ever be in affliction. It's not that you'll ever be in a place of, you know, where you're wondering how you're going to... Listen, the promise is not that you're going to have a big bank account and you're going to have lots of money in the bank and you're going to have lots of security. That's not the promise. The promise is that you have everything that you will need today. You will never go hungry. You will never want. That's the part the unbeliever doesn't like. That's not good enough for the unbeliever. The unbeliever wants big stuff. He wants to make a big name. He wants to do stuff. The believer says, just let me do whatever the Lord calls me to do and leave the circumstances with Him and be content. This is so anti everything you will hear in the world. Be content. Now, what I've learned over the years is sometimes you go through hard times, sometimes you go through good times. The Lord is abundantly good. The Lord is so good. He's gracious. But be content wherever you are. That's part of the sowing. But listen, the reaping is this, that everything, no matter where you are, you learn to be filled with the joy of the Lord, no matter what your circumstances. In the middle of trials, in the middle of blessings, filled with the joy of the Lord, filled with the peace of God, a clear conscience, walking with Him, trusting in Him. I want to do something I do from time to time and exegete a hymn. In the little additional hymn book, number 10, it's a short little thing we sing from time to time. It only has two verses. Makes me think of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. Notice, this is not, it's not the promise that you won't have afflictions and that you won't have trials and you won't have difficulties. The promise is that no matter what they are, His grace will supply your need. He will take you through them. He will teach you how to be content in them. He will teach you how to rejoice in them, to rest in Him, That's the grace that he promises. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. You can't outgive God. His grace is unlimited. Listen, don't worry about the future. You say, well, I don't know if I could endure that. I don't know if I could endure this. Listen, you can't endure anything. But in Christ, you can endure everything. And that's what Paul meant when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Live today on Christ, and you will find no matter where you are and whatever comes, you will have what you need. It's a beautiful promise. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, and some of us it takes a long time to get past that, we have a way of trusting ourselves. We have a way of, well, you know, but you know what? The Lord has a way of taking us to places where all of our hoarded resources do no good. And that's why the Lord brings trials, so that you will learn it's not about money, it's not about pleasure, it's not about how much you have or how much you experience in this life. It's about setting your affections on eternal things. And sometimes he has to take it all away so that we will do that. We have to get to the end of our hoarded resources. Our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. Well, it is true. It's a glorious truth that God gives us everything we need all the time, and we experience that blessing, that grace, if you will, as we sow to the Spirit, as we sow to Him, as we give Him first. We give Him the best in everything without complaining, always thankful, seeking Him first in everything we do. He will make all grace abound to us so that we will always have sufficiency in all things. So we are to reap, expect to reap according to our need, not according to our fleshly desires, not according to the world standard, not according to what my flesh thinks I should have, but actually according to everything I actually do need. Now the fourth thing I would say is this: expect to reap according to your calling. If you go back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Here the key phrase is for every good deed. And I emphasize the fact that not only is God powerful, not only is he good, not only is he wise, but he's the Lord. You say, why does he give us all grace? Why does he make all grace abound to us? The answer is so that we can serve him. We can expect to receive all that we need in order that we might live for him, that we might serve him in abundance in accordance with what he gives. In other words, he gives us and blesses us abundantly so that you can in turn bless others by self-giving. And just as Christ gave himself for us, so we are called to give ourselves for others for his glory. And that's why he abundantly blesses us with every good thing so that we might serve him. He gives us this grace so that we may do everything that we do for him. Again, you know these verses, but if you look at Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we... Well, you know verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. It doesn't come by our works. It's not something we accomplish by the right, our own righteousness. It's a gift by God. Through faith, he says, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then he says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. In other words, why did God save you? Why did God give you grace? Why did he call you unto himself? So you could just serve yourself and have a good life? No, so that you could actually perform good works. That you could, so that you can live for him, which God prepared beforehand so that you would walk in them. Or look at Titus chapter 2. Again, fairly well-known verse. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself, that substitutionary atonement, he died on the cross, who gave himself for us to redeem us. Redeem us from what? From every lawless deed, from wickedness, from serving ourselves, from living after the flesh. And, positively, to purify himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. See, we're not saved by our good works. No one will get to heaven and say, well, you know, I did everything, like the rich young ruler. Well, I did all that since my youth. No one will be justified that way. We're justified by faith in Christ and that alone, in his work upon the cross, in his finished work upon the cross. But the reason Christ died for us and saved us from our sin was so that we would perform good works. So that we would actually do good things. They don't save us, they're the reason we're saved. Big difference. Good works demonstrate that we are saved. They're not the means of our salvation. And you say, what is a good work? Now again, we have a tendency to divide it out. We say, well, when I'm on vacation, that's not good works. And when I'm over here and I'm helping the poor or doing something like that, that's a good work. Well, as I tell you, as a Christian, everything you do should be a good work. Everything. It should be done in obedience to the Lord, in temperance, with wisdom, in the power of the Holy Spirit, with thanksgiving, with humility. Whether you're doing the laundry, I always like to say, if you're doing the laundry and you do it with true humility, with thanksgiving, as unto the Lord, and doing it to the best of your ability, that is a good work. If you're running a company and you're managing people and you do it as unto the Lord and you do it with humility and you do it with thanksgiving and you do it with excellence, that is like a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God. You don't say, well, when I'm at work, I'm doing this, and then I go home and I go to church and I do good works. No, everything you do, that you do in accordance with his will and by the power of the Holy Spirit with thanksgiving, is a good work. And as you seek him, as you walk with him, he gives you everything you need to live a life in such a way that everything you do is for the glory of God. By the way, this is the only way to live. This is a beautiful way to live. The world is out running that treadmill of seeking their own glory and their own pleasure, and they never find it. And they wear themselves out, and they destroy their families, they destroy their kids, they destroy their lives, they become miserable, depressed, and angry. And I want to say to you, just come to Christ, bow the knee, take his yoke upon you, serve him and him alone, and what you will find is everything you need. Oh, you might not be in the front pages, and people might not be calling your name and ask you to come to speak and do all this stuff. Who cares? Do you want to please men or God? Bow the knee. He will give you everything you need so that what you do, every person you talk to, everything you do, not to please men, not to impress people, not to leave an impression, but to please God. Everything is a good work. Expect to reap according to your calling. And so I say calling because we're not all called to the same thing. You know, don't expect to reap according to what you want to be. Expect to reap according to what God has called you to. And everybody has different abilities, different gifts, in a different place, different opportunities, different limitations. Everybody's different. But God has called you to the place you are right now, the family you have, the job you have, the abilities you have, the health you have, whatever it is, it's all according to his calling on your life. That's where you are right now. Just receive that as from the Lord and do everything you do for him. He takes care of the rest. Don't worry about that. It makes life so much simpler, no matter where you are. Because this promise applies to everybody who will simply take his yoke upon them and give him the first and give him the best and give him all and seek him in all things. Well, let me give you the fifth one. Expect to reap according to God's word. Expect to reap according to God's word. Well, if you go back here to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, he now quotes Psalm 112. He quotes a psalm. So let me again read verses 8 and 9 together. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Well, it's interesting. We'll look at Psalm 112 in a minute, but Psalm 112 is a description of the man who fears the Lord. And he gives this statement from Psalm 112 as an example of an illustration of the principle he's just outlined in verses 6 through 8. So abundantly, so cheerfully, because God is able to make all grace abound to you, so you have all sufficiency in everything. And if you look here, regarding this person who fears the Lord, we observe what he sowed. It says he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, and this is what he reaped. His righteousness endures forever. Now turn with me back, back to Psalm 112. We looked at this psalm a few weeks ago when we were looking at 1 Peter for a different reason. But it gives us this principle of here's the man who feared the Lord. That is, he day by day by day, he sowed, if you could put it this way, he sowed to the Spirit, which involved giving himself. Notice, well, let me, first of all, observe verse 9 is where the quote comes from. He has given freely to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. But let me go back and just read through this psalm and observe that this principle that's in the psalm. He says, praise the Lord, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. And I would say here's a man who, again, is sowing to the Spirit. He greatly delights in his commandments. He lives his life this way. He delights in the Word of God. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light rises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. I want you to observe here that this man is known not only as one who fears the Lord, but who is constantly giving. He's giving of himself. And that's the point in 2 Corinthians. You know, sow abundantly, give of yourself, not just your money, but your time, your life, your give unto the Lord abundantly. And what you reap is this, your righteousness endures forever. He says in verse 6, he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. Verse 7, his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He has freely given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. But then it says, the wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. When we sow unto the Spirit, when we walk in his way, when we humble ourselves before him, he will always bless us. And may I say it this way? I mean, I think the focus here in 2 Corinthians 9 and indeed there in Psalm 112 is we are blessed spiritually. We are blessed in our walk with him. We are blessed so that we have everything that we need to live a life that is pleasing to him, that is honoring to him, and also that brings joy to us and truly is a blessing to other people. Well, let me turn then back to 2 Corinthians 9 and consider the last point. So again, expect to reap according to God's power. Expect to reap according to God's goodness. Expect to reap according to your need. Expect to reap according to your calling. Expect to reap according to God's word. And the last point is, expect to reap according to God's promises. God's promise. And here I read verses 10 and 11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Now, notice in verse 10, he says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, here's the one who supplies everything that we need. He says, he will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. He will provide everything that you need from day to day in order to live a life that honors him. And then he says, he will for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. As you humble yourself before him, as you draw near to him, he will increase your righteousness. He will change you. May I put it this way? The secret of sanctification, of overcoming sin and being filled with the Spirit from day to day, is truly each day to humble yourself before the Lord and to submit to him in everything you do, wherever you go, to do all for him. To get off of your plan, to forget about your purposes, and to seek him first in everything. He will sanctify you. He will do everything He said He will do. He will provide for you in every single way. You say, well, but Pastor, you don't understand my circumstances. I don't need to understand your circumstances. God's specialty is impossible circumstances. Learn to lay them before His feet. Learn to seek Him day by day, submitting your will to His. Again, it's sowing and reaping, so there's time involved, right? You day by day, you do His will and not your own, and He will abundantly bless you. He will bless you in ways you could not even imagine, you couldn't have thought of. He will work things out in ways you never even thought of or would have planned. And you'll look back and you'll say, He led me all the way. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing how God accomplishes His purpose as we look to Him. I want to take you to one last passage, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 11. Verses 24 and 25. And I'll close with this, just looking at these two verses. It says, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And the point is this, it seems totally opposite from what conventional wisdom says. If you want to gain or increase, you have to gather. But here's someone who's scattering and yet increases. This is someone who's giving. This is someone who's giving of themselves, giving of their money, giving of their time for the glory, and yet they increase. It says, there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. And so here's a hoarder, someone who's constantly trying to keep everything to themselves and make the best of everything for themselves and, you know, save up all this for themselves, and yet they actually increase in want. Now again, we're tempted to think maybe financially, but I want to say just spiritually. So if you live a life that you're totally living for yourself, living for your plan, living for you, and you're trying to hoard everything for your pleasure, and you're going to end up being totally empty. And you're going to destroy people around you. But when you give of yourself, and you give yourself for Christ, you're going to find an abundance of blessing. He says in verse 25, the generous man will be prosperous. And I love the end of verse 25. He who waters will himself be watered. So here's what you need to do. You need to just be about watering. You need to be concerned what you can do for the glory of God day by day, how you can be a blessing to other people. I would say, you know, like when you come to church, don't come here thinking in terms of so much how what you can get as much as what you can give. You know, how you can be an encouragement to somebody, how you can bless somebody, what you can do for other people. And what you'll find is that you yourself will be blessed and you will be encouraged. The whole Christian life is like that. You are not here to serve yourself. You are here to serve Christ. You are here to live for Christ. And when you do that, you will find yourself abundantly blessed. You will find yourself very naturally filled with thanksgiving to God. You will find yourself trusting in Him and obeying Him when you put Him first and seek Him in all that you do. This is the Christian life. We make it so complicated. Think in this age, we're all about the business of solving problems. And people do that with their lives. You know, they have this problem, and they want this problem fixed. And I just want to say, you know, don't worry about your problems. Just go and seek the Lord. Go and seek the Lord. Humble yourself before Him. Give your life to Him day by day by day. You are a living sacrifice. He purchased you in order that you would serve Him. Not according to what you want, not according to your plan, but according to His plan. Ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? Where do you want me to go? Let me do all for your glory. With thanksgiving, without complaining, with contentment. Trusting in Him. He will supply all of our needs abundantly. So that we will never, ever be in want. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these truths and your promises. Lord, have mercy upon us. We are so often, we are truly dull of hearing, slow to understand, slow to obey. Lord, that tends to describe all of us. You are so patient with us. But Lord, I pray that you would day by day open our eyes increasingly to the glory of your promises and of your truth. Enable us day by day truly to set our affections on you, to humble ourselves before you, and to do your will for your glory with thanksgiving. And may you accomplish that in us day by day. And Lord, may you be glorified in us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which you provide for us so often in ways we don't even think about, or we don't even acknowledge or realize. But Lord, you are so kind and gracious to us, and we thank you. We pray that we would sow abundantly in order that we might reap abundantly and walk in your truth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your person and for your work in our life. We are thankful for the Godhead. We are thankful for the unity of the Godhead that has worked together both to create this world in Genesis as well as to create new life in men. Men that have died, that are dead in trespasses and sins. And we're thankful for the calling of the Father. We are thankful for the obedience work of the Son to pay the price of sin and to redeem us at the cross, Father. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit who does apply that work of Christ to our lives and the Word of God to our hearts and causes us, Father, to be able to discern what those things say such that they become real and practical and applicable to us in a way that we can know what you desire in a way, Father, that we can serve you through the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. We are thankful for the great salvation that we have that we do not pay ourselves but is given to us freely. And we pray that each person here this morning might know that salvation. We pray, Father, that we would be both aware of it as well as submitted to it to know who you are. We thank you for the things you give us in this world as well, the many good things that you give us, even as we see the continued changing of seasons and the predictability of time, even as we've changed time, the predictability of days and the predictability of the universe, Father. All of these things we know are by your hand, and that also applies even to the small things in our life. For those things that we have need of, you do provide. And so as we receive this offering this morning, we do ask that you might bless those that give, that you would bless us as being those who are cheerful in giving. And Father, we pray also that those funds that are received would be well managed and used for the work of your work in this world through this church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.